Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager. I'm not hearing myself as though I'm not plugged in properly. All right. sorry about that. My voice is not sounding as the way it usually does. All right. This is Carolyn Yeager with another revisionist report this morning on June 30th, Thursday. And I'm going to talk about a little news in the beginning. You know, a few days ago, I mentioned the vote in the New York Senate about what are called homosexual marriage rights. And it passed, and there was a big celebration. Now Barack Obama is in the news again with talking about this, and he makes himself very clear. I just think it's so interesting. I'm bringing it up again because there was some interest in it. Now, we have Obama on yesterday praising New York's move to legalize same-sex marriage, but it says that he praised it, but he stopped short of endorsing it himself. And I ask, you know, when I read these news items, it's just like, what kind of talk is this? What does this mean? It's double talk. He says, Barack Obama is quoted as saying, I think it was a good thing. You know, what happened in New York last week, I think, was a good thing. Then he says, it should be decided by the states, not the federal government. He says he's being cautious. Well, if it should be decided by the states and not the federal government, why is he speaking about it? Why does he keep entering into it as the highest federal employee, saying he thinks it should pass? I don't want to interfere with with their debating about it. But then he gives his own opinion that he thinks it's a good thing. He praises it publicly, and he's continuing to do that. He has said, he says each community is going to be different and each state is going to be different. No, he's not sincere there, because New York was divided, very divided. It was a very close vote. But he weighed in saying that he favored it all along. So he was trying to influence that, and because he's not allowing that each state is going to be different. He wants it to be take over in all states eventually, and it will probably be a federal law eventually. So this is all this is what we get. He says then that his views are evolving. You know, he says, well, he's trying to act like, well, he's been on the fence. He's trying to placate those who are against it, because this article ends by saying that the U.S. public is nearly evenly split over whether gays and lesbians should be able to marry legally, with 45% in favor of it and 46% opposed. So knowing that over half the population, or around half, are against it, he doesn't want to alienate those people, because, of course, he's always thinking about re-election. What else? And therefore, he wants to say, well, I'm evolving into this, because he's presenting it as the right thing to do. And the last comment I want to make on this is that it's presented as an issue of individual rights. And if you ask the question in a poll, depending on how you ask the question, it's going to influence what kind of an answer you get. So I don't think that this 45-46 split is really even accurate. All right, we'll be back after the break.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager with Revisionist Report. I do apologize for my sound problems that I keep interrupting what I'm, you know, my show to talk about. But I just during the break I adjusted my volume, my speaker volume down. It was way too high. And I think I've got it at the right level now. I hear one thing too loud and we hear another thing not loud enough. So I've been messing around with it, but, that's been actually my doing. And when, so that when I started speaking after I was hearing the music, my opening music, so very loud, when I started speaking, it sounded like it didn't sound like it usually sounds coming back to me. So, anyway, I hope I won't keep interrupting on that anymore. Now, I was just finishing up, actually, and making the point that in these polls that they take, we all know it depends on how the question is worded as to what kind of an answer you're going to get. So they no doubt word the questions in a sense of, you know, where they're focusing on individual rights. And if you ask people about individual rights of let's say, homosexual people, should they be allowed this or that? Most, you know, some not, well, it's not most people, it's less than most people, but a lot of people will certainly think, because we've been trained to think that way, and it's good to think about individual rights, that yes, sure, everybody has the right, should have the right to do that, to marry who they want, and if that means they want to marry someone of the same sex, well, they should be allowed to do that, but we're never encouraged to see what is the good of the whole. The good of the group, the good of the nation. You see, this puts it in a different light. We have to balance individual rights against the rights of the whole, or the rights of the good of the nation, not just the rights. Let me put it this way: we have to balance the rights with what's good for the whole, and we do that in some cases. They do that when they want to do it, and they don't do it when they don't want to do it. But this is played with. But in this case, I think it's very clear to someone like myself that the individual rights of the homosexual people to be married in legal unions and have all that entails is not good for the nation as a whole. And therefore, that's why I would be against it. But that's why I am against it. But our president, Obama, is for it, and he's going to continue to be for it. He's very pleased if it keeps moving forward and passes in one state after another. So that's that. Now, another story that caught my attention, and you know, I'm not finished talking about the memory issue, and I still have more, and to connect that with Dennis Avey and Ellie Wiesel and a few other people. So that's still there, but I want to cover a couple more stories which really interested me that I saw this morning. And the next one is about the concentration camp of Sachsenhausen, because Lee yesterday brought up the issue of concentration camps, and that I had said I favored concentration camps. And I do think I did make a comment about that on another program, and I do think that work camps are not an entirely bad idea. And this article points it out quite well. There's this new little flare-up, you know, how they go. This is from a story from Berlin that came out on Tuesday, as saying that managers at the Sachsenhausen, which was a one-time a concentration camp in the Third Reich but is now a memorial museum, are outraged at Germany's they have outraged Germany's Jewish community following revelations that they have started charging visitors for guided tours. Okay, they said they're going to charge every person on a tour coming through this Sachsenhausen Memorial Museum €1, because they're having problems with their funding. Now, and of course, naturally, the Jewish community gets all up in arms every time they say, well, they don't want people to go there. That's going to keep people from going there and learning about these Nazi crimes. All right, now, some background here. Sachsenhausen is a few kilometers north of Berlin in a town called Oranienburg, and it was one of the first camps set up by the Nazis in 1936. The article says that more than 200,000 of the regime's opponents were incarcerated there, and tens of thousands of them were beaten, starved, tortured, or worked to death. Well, no. I'm telling you straight out, tens of thousands were not beaten, starved, tortured, or worked to death at Sachsenhausen. Now, in the last months of the war, we need to realize that everything was falling apart. A lot of inmates from other camps were moved into Germany because of the advance of the Red Army, and they became very overcrowded. Then there was no food, there was no medical supplies, nothing got through because the transportation was being destroyed by the Americans and the British, and, you know, probably Canadians and whoever was in the Air Force there, and the Australians and the Allies. So they are responsible for this condition that was taking place there. You can't even make the Germans responsible. You can say, well, they shouldn't have put them in those. Well, if they let them out, if they had released those people in those camps, these people were large part criminals, and they had a big gripe against Germans. And if you just released them, they were already escaping and going out into the communities and wreaking havoc and killing Germans, raping Germans, stealing from Germans. So, you know, see, the German government, the German leaders had to look out for the German people, who are already in having a lot of difficulties, and therefore they couldn't let those people go. It's as if you said, well, now we're gonna change our entire system here in the United States. Maybe there's a revolution, and we're gonna take over the government, or we've overthrown the government, whatever, and or there's been a war and everything has collapsed, and now we're gonna open up the prisons because we believe that all these prisoners that are in there have been wrongly imprisoned, and we're going to open it up and let them all, and free them all, liberate them. Now, what's going to happen? You've got prisons full of criminals, or people who have become more criminal, who have a big gripe against everything. They're going to go out and rape and loot and steal and murder and do whatever they feel like. So this is, you know, this would, you would never approve of that. But yet people think that, I guess, this is what should have been, this is what should have happened to those who were in the German concentration camps. Now, there's more to this story because I haven't even got to the most important point that I want to make from it. Now, this idea that it says that the vast majority of the memorial camps are state-run, and until yesterday it had been widely assumed that entry to all of them was free. Well, when it says state-run, that's not really true. They're not, they are, they're not federally run. The federal German government does not run a single one of these memorial camps that are now museums, considered museums. And even the states don't, they're under the, they're state funded, but they are run by committees or foundations which have been set, which were set up after the war, in many cases by the former inmates or by which really they, well, they formed groups. They were communist groups. They were very opposed to Nazism. These were people who then, you know, were in the ascendancy in 1945, and they had some association with one camp or another, and they formed foundations and committees and so on, and said, we want to turn this into a memorial museum. We don't want people to forget all that stuff. So these, naturally, the Germans were going along with everything. They wouldn't go against that. And so the states agreed to, after a period of time, when the thing, people were getting back, Germany was getting back on its feet a little bit, they agreed to help fund these memorials, but they were, the people in charge of them are special groups like any kind of a non-governmental group that works hard to, because they're very anti-Nazi, so they work hard to preserve these former camps and bring people to them to keep alive the whole idea of how bad they were. Now, so this is the truth about these camps. And I think you need to understand that. And they, because they get money from the German states for to keep themselves open, and they, their whole policy has always been to be totally free, because it's like propaganda. And in this case, they don't want to make people pay to be propagandized. So they don't think you should charge anything. And I went to three of them when I was in Europe. And, of course, you just walk in, you know. But then more and more they have a lot of restrictions. And the one that has the most restrictions is now Auschwitz-Birkenau. And they're coming down even further to make people have to go on a guided tour where you cannot even walk around there by yourself. But they haven't actually initiated that yet. But the thing is, they have guided tours, and these guided tours cost a pretty penny. They're not free. Private tour people, and they have a statement here by a man named John O'Leary, founder of the company Inside Tour, which takes tourists around Sachsenhausen, and probably he's got tours all over the place. But Sachsenhausen is on his list there. And he was outraged by the charge. He's just outraged that he has to ask the people who are coming on his tour to pay this €1 fee to get into Sachsenhausen. And but, you know, I wonder how much he charges for these people to take this tour. You know, he makes a living at this. He's making a living at his tourist business, but he wants the entry to these places to be free. Well... it's a racket. It's a racket. I can tell you that. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesite, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager. This is the Revisionist Report on June 30th. And let me remind you that the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. I'm taking calls today, anytime. So let me just make one more point about that previous story, because as I was saying, what if, picture the United States in collapse, total collapse, and then prisons were all opened and liberated, and the prisoners all came out, and then later there a new government was being installed, probably some kind of military government or something like that, a revolutionary government or what have you, and they said, well, you know, the previous regime was our enemy, total enemy. We don't want any of that ever coming back. So we're going to make all these prisons into shrines and memorial sites so that people can go and see what they look like and how people, you know, were treated in there, and to remind everyone what a terrible regime this previous regime was. Well, then you'd have something similar to what took place in Germany and is still taking place. All right, while we're at it, I'm going to look at another story about concentration camps. And this is that the story from a few days ago that a colonel, well, he's now known to be a colonel in the reserves and a senior official in the Herzliya municipality in Israel, a man named Moli Postoshani, a Jew, is the one who was arrested with his wife for stealing some mementos or items from Auschwitz when he was visiting there last week. So, or earlier this week, whenever it was. Anyway, the article says, the couple who are related to Holocaust survivors were sentenced in Poland. Oh, they always have to bring that up. Now, What does it mean to be related to Holocaust survivors? I don't know what it means. You know, some far-fetched, they think somebody in their family might have been, who died during that time or might have died, or they might have some people, mostly because, it's just this business of being associated with Holocaust survivors is supposed to ameliorate anything that these people do. As you can see, it kind of irritates me. But here's the funny thing. They took rusted cutlery that they found. He says they found it in the mud with the intention of bringing the items back to Israel and perhaps giving them to Yad Vashem. So they thought, either they're mementos, ladies and gentlemen, for him, or there's something he wants to transfer from Auschwitz to Yad Vashem because he wants Yad Vashem to have, a lot of stuff because he's an Israeli. Now, he says, we didn't take items that were on display. He says, we found them in an area where prisoners arrived and were undressed. Now, at first I tried to believe him. He says it looked as though these were things thrown away, by survivors, or they tried to bury them, because he said we found them in the mud. And when I read that, I thought, well, they could have been not from back then, but they could be more recent. We find spoons and knives and things because people are outdoors for some reason eating at this and that location. And certainly people might have been doing that on the Auschwitz grounds. And they doesn't say whether it is Auschwitz 1 or Birkenau either. They just throw it all together there. But then it turns out at the end that the Krakow police, that's the Krakow Poland police, the big city that's closest to the Auschwitz camp, said that the couple took 9 items that they found in a room storing prisoner belongings during their visit. So they didn't find them in the mud. According to the police, they found them in a room that was probably there's a lot of little buildings around there on the grounds. It's a huge place. Not Auschwitz 1, but Birkenau is. Auschwitz 2 is a huge place and fairly empty in a lot of areas. So, but it said that what they had was spoons, knives, scissors, and porcelain bottle stoppers. So, they just thought they'd pilfer these things and take them back to Yad Vashem and say, oh, look, here's some authentic relics from Auschwitz. Now, a point that I want to make about this is about this idea of relics. And as much as anything, this shows the religious nature of every camp now, of the whole story. We know about religious relics, and all of this stuff that is shown in these camps, and particularly at Auschwitz, we're very familiar with that through pictures and articles and movies and TV documentaries and so on, that they're all almost, they're like religious relics. Well, they are. Every spoon or bottle stopper, is multiplied by the magic 6 million number and becomes a sacred item that should be on display and multitudes should come and view it. And in a very worshipful way, oh, yes, now you have to be very silent and you need to have this solemn look on your face. You have to show that you are really taking this seriously because that's what everybody does and they expect it of one another. And we're going to come and look at these spoons and bottle stoppers and things like that because they are on display. Some of them, they probably got so many they can't display them all, so they had some safe. So you see how nuts this is. We have a caller, I think. I'll take the caller when we get back. 2 callers.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As I said, I'm Carolyn Yeager, and we've got a couple of callers. First, we'll take Paul from New Jersey. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, Carolyn. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you.
I want to ask you one question, then make some comments. But for one, do you plan on going into Russian history at all and about the crimes of the Bolsheviks and the mass murders in the Ukraine and elsewhere?
Well, I think people are very familiar with that. I really do.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I don't have any immediate plans, but, you know, it certainly is a part of it all, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think you should just do a few shows to, because I see it that you ultimately are a Nazi apologist. Not that that's a bad thing, and I am one too. I'm sympathetic towards what the Germans fought for, and I think we I agree with General Patton that we chose the wrong side during World War II. You know, America allied itself with an already known mass murderer to fight a nation that hadn't committed mass murder.
Well, you're putting it very well. You're making the point very, very well. And, you know, I do think that callers can certainly, as such as yourself, who know and can speak well, can call in and make these points, and then it can be further discussed. So, you know, I agree with you. This is a very important point, that Roosevelt was very, very friendly with the communists and with Joe Stalin, and with he had tremendous amount of communists and Jews. Sometimes they were one and the same, not always in his administration. So this is a point that needs to be made, because as you said, you called me a Nazi apologist. I wouldn't use the word apologist. I don't like that word. But I certainly want to look into this in a fair way. And I've already said that I like National Socialism. And I think we need to understand it better. And one way is to get this stigma off. And that's really my main objective, is to remove the stigma that someone like, and I'm not trying to point the finger at Lee. I'm glad he brought that up, actually. Lee yesterday calls in about that, and as if it's a terrible thing that I, how am I going to explain this? You know, how am I going to explain my interest in a neo-Nazi? I don't like that term, neo-Nazi, either. But I think that we need to remove some of these automatic stigmas and look at this whole thing more objectively. And I think that's what you're saying, correct?
Yes, and we should be unabashedly for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we are a good people, and we have a right to exist. We have a right to keep our homelands for our people as the preferred citizen. And this is where I see a lot of American patriots are wrong. They go along with the modern multiculturalist agenda, which was pushed by the globalists in the 1960s. And so most conservative patriots try to preserve the gains of the civil rights movement, et cetera, pushed by communists in this country. And once Jewish establish themselves as the most powerful ethnic group, as they deposed the WASP, and have basically usurped their dominance in this nation, they've written the history for us. And they're the enforcers of the social and intellectual order, and we're forced to bow to that or be unemployed, you see, or be on
yes.
the outskirts at RBN
yeah.
and dissident media.
Well, I think the problem, and you bring it up very well, with the so many patriots, is that they have totally bought into the World War II, Allied victory being bringing democracy and fighting fascism, et cetera, et cetera. They have totally bought into that, and they are kind of stuck in that position, and they feel Germany and Nazis are still the enemy after all these years, even though they understand it on one level. On another level, I think they can't quite give that up. And then there's a whole crowd of people who are still extremely anti-German and still see that the Germans have the ability and therefore a plan to take over the world. That, you know, that somehow behind the New World Order, it's the Germans.
Which is absolutely absurd because China is the new superpower. Who's kidding who? I mean, really. and the New World Order made that also in the globalist agenda, obviously. Which is... So America has basically taught itself from World War II for white Gentiles to love their fratricide and glorify their fratricide, their killing of their ethnic kinsmen
yeah.
by the WASP in the United States, basically being taken control by Jewish interests and fighting themselves in a mass carnage in Europe. And now, as a weakened, war-torn nations, we're getting displaced and conquered by immigration and the demographics of these immigrants. And so we've lost our nations in front of our eyes, and having Jewish leadership doesn't seem to be working, you know? And so the only real solution, I believe, is white nationalism, American white nationalism. And I think Kevin McDonald brings this up quite well, and I do hope you get him as a guest someday.
The
American Third Party, American Third Way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
Basically white nationalism, but not German white nationalism. It could be American national socialism, you see. And basically linking it to our patriots, because I believe the Founding Fathers wanted this to be a white nation. They gave the initial rights and privileges to only white males. And this is after the signing of the Constitution. And so true patriots want to do what our founders would want, and so want this to be a white nation. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We shouldn't.
Well, people are afraid to say that. You know, that's a real dirty word.
Right.
And even Lee intimated that in his thinking yesterday when he said that I was in favor of concentration camps and for everyone who wasn't Aryan or something like that. Well, that isn't what I was saying, but you see, that reveals to him that, oh, we can't have, if you talk about whites and the rights and privileges of whites and how we're losing our nations,
exactly.
Then they connect it with, oh, you're Aryan, you know, you're Nazi, this is what Hitler did, they've got that all, they don't really understand it, but they're just going by the propaganda that they've picked up. And that's pretty entrenched in a lot of people. And that's why I just want to discuss this so that it can be, we can be more relaxed about it. I would like Lee to be able to, he's certainly welcome to call in again and give his views, but we need to be relaxed about it and not start fighting immediately or take these hard sides.
Well, he sounds like a liberal. You know what they call a liberal? A liberal is a person who won't take his own side in an argument. So I think whites who reject white nationalism are really liberal fools.
They won't take the side of his own people, is what you mean.
Yeah, they won't take the side of their own people. They're always eager. We've been trained to denigrate our ancestors who've basically expanded our people to these lands and made beautiful civilizations. And we're taught to, like, spit on our ancestors. And in a sense, that's to get us away from the teachings of our ancestors. That's the subversion, you know, to not be what our founders wanted us to be. And that's unabashedly for ourselves, white people. Proud,
well,
proud,
I thank
proud
you
that
for
we're
call, Paul. I know you've made your point very well.
Yeah. And
so I think let's turn to Dave from Massachusetts and see what Dave has to say about this. Hi, Dave.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Oh, good morning, Carolyn. I haven't listened to James David Manning in a while, so I thought I was going to hear him. I was delighted to hear you. You're very special. You're a special gift to us. I thank God for you. And this, I call it, I've always called it the hoax at any cost. The hoax at any cost. It is a religion, you know, when of course it's a religion, and of course Hitler's the devil in this religion and everything, but I won't belabor, the religious aspects of it. What I wanted to point out, Carolyn, that I try to point out to people, all this disinformation and propaganda that about the demise of communism and the former Soviet Union and the former Eastern Bloc and the defunct, you know, all those words, the defunct, communism is defunct, demise, defunct. No, it's America that's defunct. It's the former United States of America. It's the demise of America. Communism isn't dead at all. It's very easily proven that it's not dead. If communism was really dead, we would have gotten back at least just one POW/MIA. If communism was really defunct and demised and dead, we would have at least put one communist on trial. But we haven't got back one POW/MIA. Not one communist has been put on trial. They're still hunting these Nazis, these Jewish genocidal murderers. Are still hunting the Nazis, and yet we know Alexander Solzhenitsyn revealed the vast, extensive concentration camp system, the gulag all across Siberia. Now they talk about Johnny Demjanjuk, Ivan the Terrible and everything, which even the Israeli Supreme Court says he's wrong. He's not Ivan the Terrible. Now how come they can't find? And you don't even have to go back to World War II. You only have to go back to the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s. But isn't it interesting that they can't find any of these vicious East German guards that guarded the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain and just machine gunned down in the back innocent families, grandparents, holding the hands of their little grandchildren trying to escape to freedom in the West and West Berlin. And they had those vicious attack dogs that they trained to. They were actually trained, as you probably well know, Carolyn. A German Shepherd dog can be trained just to grab somebody by the ankle and hold them until the police or guards come and subdue them. They can, you know, a good police dog can take the prisoner alive. But these dogs were actually trained to go right for the jugular vein, right for the throat, to actually rip out the throats of these innocent people trying to flee to the West. But they can find Johnny Demjanjuk, but they can't find any of these thugs that guarded the Berlin Wall, as I say, in the Iron Curtain.
You're making a great point here, Dave. I really do appreciate it. I didn't know that these German Shepherd police dogs were trained to go right after these people that way. But that's a perfect point, because and the reason that I would say that they don't go after these East German criminals, but they're still going after the Nazis from the wartime, is that West Germany, Germany is filled up with liberals, as Paul was talking about liberals. I mean, it's left. it's totally left. Well, let's say the left took over control in 1945. And as I was talking about, those the camps were taken over by these left-wing groups and turned into memorials, and they're in charge of them. They're in charge of what's taught there. They determine how they're done, and they get money from these German state governments who are so caught, you know, who are so well, I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but you know, they're just so on their knees that they have to go along with this, and everybody in Germany repeats these beliefs, and that's what is politically correct there, and anything else is not. And so they're in charge, and if you call them communists or you call them left wingers, they're the people that the same people we were fighting in World War II.
I know. Except maybe the word to a certain father's bootlicker. I can't count.
Yeah, well, I kept trying to think of Boyd or Coyd, but neither one was right. But anyway.
Hey, but you know, just in closing, Carolyn, I'm delighted. Are you going to be on Monday through Friday now?
Yes, I am. Yes, wonderful. I am. I started a couple weeks ago. Week ago.
Oh boy, I'm glad I know that you're on now. Hey, and one last thing I just want to say in closing, Carolyn. I don't talk about World War I and World War II anymore. I just talk about Holocaust number one and Holocaust number two. The Holocaust is continuing. Those Jewish genocidal murderers on Madison Avenue that control all the advertising agencies, they've completely eliminated the white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed man in all advertising. You'll never see any products advertised associated with a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. Really, they've eliminated all European, Aryan-looking white men with a red, you know, someone that might look like a Scotsman or an Irishman or German or Scandinavian. They still have the white woman, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman, but she is never, ever, ever to be shown, standing next to a white man, and especially not sharing any joy or happiness or sharing a laugh. She's to be surrounded by Asians and blacks and Hispanics and Arabs and Jews, but never a good white Aryan man. And the number of Jews that died in that so-called Holocaust are minuscule compared to the millions of beautiful white men and white women. The white soldiers and, of course, millions of white women were innocent victims. And those were the people who were really holocausted, the white European of Europe. So that's Holocaust number one. And those Jewish supremacists on Wall Street, they didn't give a damn that they had to sacrifice maybe a half a million of their own lesser brethren. The main goal was to kill millions and millions of white men and women in Holocaust number one and Holocaust number two. And now we have Holocaust number three going on.
Yeah, all right, Dave. You know, I don't disagree with anything you've said. This was thank you for a very good call, and call again another day, and also to Paul, call again. I appreciated those two very good calls, and gee, I found two fans there. Isn't that nice? Now I'm gonna try to fit in a little bit more of my topic that I think is very interesting. Maybe I think it's more interesting than you do. But about how our memories work and why this idea that memory is so important to the Jewish community and to the to what they term the Holocaust is really based on something that is without foundation. So because their memories, even if they were sincere in what they're saying, these so-called witnesses, their memories are not at all reliable, and this needs to be gotten through to more and more people. I think this is a good way to talk to people about it who are sold on the Holocaust being exactly the way it's presented, or close to it anyway. But I think you can certainly make people realize that it is almost totally based on memories of people as they give their witnessing. And so much of it was done a long time after the actual event, and therefore we know that this is not a good foundation. You need to have real facts, and what they don't have is forensic evidence. They just have mostly witness evidence for it. So I think I hear the, yep, I hear the music moving in on me. So I will come back and finish up with that in the last few minutes.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're finishing up this today's show, but I think I can fit in quite a bit here. I was talking yesterday about, of course, memory and false memories, and I mentioned Elizabeth Loftus, and she wrote a book called Memory. I'm going to take something from it. Now, I probably don't agree with Elizabeth Loftus on everything she says, so I'm not like recommending making a general recommendation of her, but I'm just saying that she is considered an expert on false memory. And she, in this book, she describes an experiment that was conducted with a series of slides showing the sequence of an automobile pedestrian accident. She gives this information about what the subject saw on the slides. It's this. A red auto was traveling along a side street toward an intersection at which there was a stop sign for half the traffic and a yield sign for the remaining traffic. The slides showed the auto turning right and knocking down a pedestrian who was crossing at the crosswalk. Now, after the subjects viewed the slides, an experimenter questioned them about what they had seen. Some of the subjects were asked questions that included incorrect information. And others were asked questions which included correct information. Now, they had just seen this slide, these slides. But those who had been fed the wrong information through the questions did poorly on recall and thought they had actually seen a slide with the information that had been suggested in the questions. This really shows the power of suggestibility, or how suggestible we are. We are far more suggestible than we think we are. Through this and other experiments, researchers have demonstrated that when false information is introduced, the memory can be altered. All right, and I think we can see very clearly, or I can, how this has been done in the area of what's called Holocaust memory. False information can be gotten into your thinking through reading Holocaust survivor books, such as Dennis Abbey read the Coward and Dodd books and then patterned his story after what he read in those books and what he knew about those stories of those people. And we also get that from seeing films and videos, which are all over the place. I don't need to mention which ones. And an example is Irene Zisblatt seeing the movie Schindler's List. She was already, I think, in her 70s or something when she saw, no, she's 70. Maybe she was in her 60s, but she saw Schindler's List. And that's when she decided that she needed to tell her story, too. And then she started, dreaming up her story, which is not, I and others have proven that it is not a correct account of what she actually experienced. And that's very, very clear. So her story, her memories have been changed by what she has seen. And she's just included all those things into what she calls what she remembers. And I think she knows better. But some people might think they really do remember things that didn't happen. Now, we know that, let's see, I got a couple minutes. We know that Elie Wiesel waited 10 years to put down his memory of his 1 year in the concentration camps in this book, Night, which at that time was not Night, but it was a book written in Yiddish, according to him. I'm not sure he wrote that Yiddish book, but that's another affair here. But he said in an interview in 1979, he told this interviewer about how it happened. So heavy was my anguish that I made a vow not to speak, not to touch upon the essential for at least 10 years. And then he went on, long enough to see clearly all these poetic garbage he comes up with. But now in 10 years, is he going to see it more clearly? Does this make any sense according to what we know scientifically about how our memory works? No, if he wanted to have a clear account of what happened, what he experienced, he would have written it down right away. But he said that he made a vow not to do it for at least 10 years so that he could somehow get some perspective on it. Well, what he got was that he could then invent his own memories about it. And that's what he did, and I will go into that more.
The next round of the worst